Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and thank you for joining us. And we really appreciate every one of you listeners tuning in. Hope you're getting something out of the shows and sharing it with your friends and neighbors. We've got Bob and Mary Griswold with us.
Hello.
Diane Ruffino.
Hello.
Hal and his lovely wife, Rainer James.
Hey there.
Hey, Rick.
Not to mention Bob's lovely wife, Mary.
I've got to pass out
those lovelies equally there. So.
Well, now you've left Diane out of that. I'm someone's lovely wife.
Yeah. I can't see her through the microphone. She, yes, Diane's lovely presence here with us, keeping us all in bounds of what we're supposed to do. She's our constitutional expert. Sometimes we just need to hear from her. She's a lawyer, a teacher, a little bit of everything. Emphasis on the little. We've got a special guest with us tonight. That's Michael Speciale, State Representative, North Carolina.
Also lovely.
He's a lovely representative.
Michael left his lovely at home tonight. We want to talk a little bit, first off, Michael, about the after effects of the hurricane. And I know that you've had a couple of special sessions, and you're supposed to go back into one on Monday to discuss funding and all for some of the cleanup and damages and all. But tell us a little bit about what you've seen as far as the legislature goes, the handling of the situation. I know there's a lot to keep up with, a lot to figure out. You haven't had a lot of figures to work with because all the damage hasn't been assessed yet. And here we have another threat with Hurricane Michael coming right behind Florence. So it's a busy time, I'm sure, in Raleigh.
Definitely. We were up there last week. We appropriated $56.5 million. $50 of it was for things, infrastructure, things that need to be taken care of. $6.5 million was for cafeteria workers and the schools, contract personnel. It's the portion that the federal government pays of their pay, but that the federal government's not going to pay since they weren't actually working, and we want to make sure that everybody gets paid. So that's what that was about. We did not have enough information on the damage at that point. We expect that when we go in Monday, our session will start at 7 p.m., and we expect to have more information to be able to come up with some better figures. For those people that don't know, the North Carolina is a very prepared state. We have $2 billion in an emergency fund just for this type of thing.
The rainy day fund, I think they referred to it. Well, how did that come about?
That was, Republican legislature. We just started putting away money. We cut the taxes, which brought in additional revenues, and we took some of those revenues and started putting it away. The state requires local governments and county governments to have 8% of their annual spending in a rainy day fund. It's not actually a requirement, but it's a recommendation. And so we thought that we should do the same thing as a state.
Well, I think that's a very good idea. Yeah.
Michael, did I hear you right? You said you cut taxes so it raised revenue.
That's correct. That's correct. We've been averaging between $300 million and $500 million. Each year since we started cutting taxes and additional revenues.
All right. Now, how is this money allotted? Because I understand there was some money that was allotted for Matthew victims that has never gotten to them. Why is that?
There's about $200 million that still has not, well, it's a little bit less now because over the last few days, some of it has been getting out. Beaufort County got a couple hundred thousand for generators for the county and this and that. A lot of it has to do with federal requirements, matching funds. It's just, it should never have taken this long. And so that's something that needs to be addressed. because it's been 2 years, and some of that money is now just being dispersed.
Okay. Do you foresee any of that happening with the current situation?
We're going to do everything we can to make sure that doesn't happen. But there are, again, there are some of the monies that we will be spending are matching monies. So we're waiting. We would have to wait on the federal government, and this is where some of that takes a little bit of time to work through the different agencies.
What areas did y'all see that were hit the hardest? Where's the biggest impact?
Well, I went out, and what I saw that was the worst was areas like River Bend. I mean, they were, you know, they had portions there were devastated. The downtown, just off the downtown area in New Bern, just unbelievable. Some of the homes that had been previously raised got water in them again, were flooded again. So that's something that needs to be looked at. What we're doing there, obviously that was insufficient. It's rough out there. Havelock had some really bad areas.
So I know Fairfield Harbor got hit hard because I've been out there.
I was amazed at some of the trees on the power lines going all the way down 70 heading towards Moorhead City. Just tree after tree leaning on the power lines and pulling down the poles, and I was just amazed that the power crews got in there to actually get back to some of those lines.
Right. Ironically, on the way here tonight to record the show, I passed one of the double dump trucks that's going around and picking up all the debris, and it was from Appalachia, Florida.
Wow. Mm.
He's up here picking up our stuff, and they're being torn
Poor
apart.
Poor darling's going to need to go home soon.
Yeah. We've got people coming from everywhere, all the way up to Washington State, that came out here to help us with what's going on. And I'll tell you, I think things went a lot better than they would have.
Yes.
Had these things not been staged. The EMS will not go out after, you know, the winds start getting to a certain degree. And we did have some, there were some calls on the night of the hurricane, people stuck on their roofs. But who came to the rescue was the Cajun Navy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've talked about that before.
Well, ironically, I just got back last week from going to my grandson's wedding in Louisiana. And I had to do the toast while I was there. And I had the opportunity to thank them and the Cajun Navy for what they – I explained to them what we were, what they were seeing on TV. We were the eye of the storm here in North Carolina. And I took that opportunity to thank them. But
for those that don't know what the Cajun Navy is, it's they're civilians. They're just people who have boats that say, I'm going to go help where I can help.
Right.
And those were the ones who went out and rescued people when – our EMS and emergency services could not.
Right.
I think it was great that you had the opportunity to do that, Rick.
Yep.
I saw some Cherokee people here, too, working.
Yeah. The Cajun Navy played a big role in Houston when it was hit and flooded out. So I think that's where they got their popularity from then, and they've just kept on doing it.
Well, you mentioned the devastation over there in Fairfield Harbor, and I saw it, too. It was horrible. But also in River Bend, there were a lot of places that were hit really hard, and we had a lot of folks over working in River Bend. And then I heard a report that two of the town council members there that have recently been elected are considering moving out of River Bend because of it. Just, you know, a lot of folks are going to move because of these problems that we're having.
I was at a house today that they were packing up, getting ready to move. But they're moving to Taberna, so I don't know.
But I know one person has moved to Denver. So,
Well, we're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back to continue this conversation.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. Everyone loves fresh seafood, and Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro has all your favorites, like shrimp, scallops, and salmon, and plenty of fresh fish in season. Come for our own soft-shell crabs, pecan wood smoked sausage and salmon, and our very own boiled peanuts. Load up on seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sausage from the Redfish Seafood Market, Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we have special guest, Representative Michael Speciale, with us, and we're talking about the aftermath of Hurricane Florence and what we might be able to expect from Michael. Of course, by the time you hear the show, you'll already know it'll have already passed. But we were talking about the way the dispersing of the funds and the things, the impact that it's had on the state. From the federal level, the federal response, can you give us some idea how that compared to the previous storm like Matthew?
Well, I just think everybody all the way around, things were a little quicker this time. One of our concerns, of course, is, you know, getting FEMA trailers out here. We've got people that need a place to live,
right?
And that's a problem. We don't have hotel rooms.
There's already a housing shortage before
right,
the
exactly.
storm.
Exactly. So, right. There's still issues that need to be addressed, but overall, I think things are going better than they did last time because we learned some lessons.
Okay, and some of the communication lines have improved, I think, yeah. from past experiences. Hal?
Well, I talked to one fellow that was very dissatisfied with FEMA, and he said that he lost all of his furniture and everything in his house, and he found out that everything he owned was worth $1,700. That's all they paid him. He was really unhappy about that. Now, I don't know how I feel about it because I don't like the federal government involved in such things to begin with. I'm way off on the right end of things. I think FEMA is an overextension of the federal government, to tell you the truth. I think states ought to be handling that sort of thing, and it ought to be as close to home as possible.
All right. Well, I see where you come from on that. On that note, one thing that I am very impressed with is the number of religious organizations Samaritan's Purse, and
that's where you ought to be, right?
Yeah,
local churches.
Right from the beginning, I saw tractor trailers coming in here, loaded down with supplies, and they're stationed all around the counties here at different churches locations. We have people that are coming in here and going and cleaning up, ripping out sheetrock, doing for free.
Yeah,
we have. There's one guy I heard about. I think it was in River Bend. He's going around with his chainsaw, cutting trees and everything for free. You know, people helping people. And if we had more of that, like we used to have, you know, like our great grandparents and our grandparents did, if your barn burned down, the whole community came together to help.
You know what put the quietus on it, don't you?
Giveaways.
Yes, the government took it over. People behave well when they're needed. When they're not needed, they go on about their business.
Right.
I saw on television this morning, people down in Moorhead City, the churches were behind it, and they were attacking down. They were up there, and they said they weren't professionals at it. These were church members up on a roof. Some of them expressed fear of being up that high, but they were up there attacking down these tarps.
Right.
On houses that hadn't been fully repaired from the last hurricane.
Right. I was listening to a radio show last week from down in Carteret County. There's a group of veterans. Of course, it's a nationwide group. I can't remember the name of it. Wish I could. But they're all coming in. And right in the middle of the storm and all, they were on roofs tacking down tarps and all. So.
People are, I'm impressed with what happened. I expected, because there was a lot of supplies and things available for people and food, everybody was going out, that people were going to take everything they could get their hands on, whether they needed it or not.
Right.
And that's not what I saw. I mean, I had a truckload of stuff that I got from one of the churches, and we were going around giving it out. And what was happening is I was hearing people say, well, you know, I could use, you know, the bleach or whatever, but you know what? The guy down the street could use some of the food. Or,
right.
I mean, they were pointing us in the direction of people who they knew that actually needed this stuff. And I got to tell you, that's impressive, because...
Well, you're always going to have some take advantage of it.
Yeah, but it was a small number if it happened, and at least in... what I had seen, right. And it made me very happy to be out there.
Community awareness, yes.
Right. And when you compare that with the looting and things like that you saw going on in some of the, down in Louisiana and some of the places, I don't know where they were.
Of course, I'm a little biased. I happen to think North Carolinians are a better group.
Oh, gone. Me too. Yes, indeed.
My wife and I pulled up to get some gas at one of the local stations, and the Salvation Army truck was there. And he came over to the car. We had our grandchildren with us, and he had 4 carry-out plates of food. And I thanked him. I said, but there's people that need it. We don't need it. But we go ahead and take it. I said, no, there's people that need it. And hopefully it gets to them. I know the food banks need all the help they can get, replenishing their supplies. Religious Community Services here, RCS. They've been doing a great job. So all those organizations and the churches working together, and then people volunteering. I know a lot of people that are just going and volunteering to help out these organizations, because they come in here with some of them with a skeleton crew, just bringing in the equipment and the supplies and all, and they need volunteers to help distribute it. So,
and you wouldn't believe some of the ways that people found out where they needed to go. Somebody had posted on Facebook, somebody from Harker's Island said, please help, we need food out here. This was on Facebook.
Yeah.
And so one of the churches, we loaded them up, and they, Havelock Church, and he went out there.
Right.
But that, I mean, it's amazing, the social communication.
Social media has played a big role in, you know, getting the word out. Bob?
I was amazed at the number of storefronts that also opened up. I mean, volunteer storefronts where people, you got some food or you got something that you just staged it somewhere that people could get to, that people could see.
All right.
Yeah. And the Freedom Baptist Church down in Havelock, where we're having our Miracle of America classes on Friday evenings, they sent work crews up to Jones County.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. And Pastor Jim Core was involved in that. So a lot of churches, a lot of people have responded very, very well.
Right. And I agree with you, Michael, about North Carolina might be a step ahead of a lot. But I think the country as a whole, right now, we're in an awakening and a renewal period. I think a lot of that spirit is coming back, and hopefully it'll continue to grow and we'll see more improvement before the next disaster. Mary?
I want to go back to what you said about social networks, because New Bern has been fantastic about posting sites on Facebook where you could get a free dinner or a hot meal, or where the clothes were if you needed clothes, and where the cleaning supplies were. And I think that's really a smart use of social networking by the city. And I have been very impressed with that. I mean, we were very fortunate. We came through it okay. But there are a lot of people that didn't.
Right. All right. And, you know, always, if you know somebody that needs help, help them make that connection. Because, well, like our neighborhood was the first, I think, to lose power. And we were out for 5 days, I believe it was. We didn't have Wi-Fi.
We were in the same boat, Rick.
And exactly. And the cell surface was very shaky because it would come and go, you know.
Yes.
It was a different time, but it is what it is. So if you're fortunate enough to have power and you have access to the social media, get as much information as you can and share it with others.
The one thing I was really amazed at was the number of, quote, non-flood zones that really got flooded out in this storm.
And I'm going to have to call you down. That you said that's the one thing, and that's about the third time you've said that's the one thing. So. You only get one thing.
Only get one thing, okay.
Okay. Hal?
Are you ready to move on to another subject?
No, I'm going to move on and take a break. And then we'll come back and jump on another subject. So we're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors. And please listen carefully. Go out and visit our sponsors. They're good people. Matter of fact, B&J Seafood, I know that during the storm they opened up their doors and said, anybody that needs ice, it's free. Come and get it. Please patronize our sponsors and support them. Tell them you heard about them here on CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we have Representative Michael Speciale with us today. And Michael, thank you for coming in and spending some time with us. Keep us updated on what's going on with the storm that's ongoing. Hal wanted to talk about another topic, early voting, I believe.
Well, voting in general, yeah, I think it would be a good idea to cover some of that because up until recently it's been very confusing. About, you know, the election has been delayed, and for a long time there they weren't sure whether the districts were going to stay the same because of the suits and that sort of thing. So it all settled down a week or so ago. And so now we know that we're going to start early voting on the 17th, which is this coming Wednesday. And they have had to make some changes because of the flood. Some of the precincts, when they're going to be open on Election Day, have had to combine because of the unavailability of some of the buildings. They're not going to be able to use the building down in Havelock that they had before, nor are they going to do it over at the elections office. They're going to do it. I believe it's the New Song Church that they're
Bryce's Creek can't meet over at their fire station because of the damage, and they'll be coming over to the New Song Church over on West Grantham Road, which is Precinct 21 and 23.
Yeah, well, we got a little time between now and then to do a little more research on it, but I just wanted to give everybody a heads up that there are some changes because of the storm in the way the election is going to be conducted, and we need to keep our heads up about it.
And actually, Melanie
Ray,
she sent out postcards yesterday to the 11,000 voters that will be impacted by change in voting sites.
That's wonderful. I'm glad you knew that.
All right.
And Mary mentioned, too, that voter registration doesn't close.
Voter registration is staying open until Monday is the last day because of the hurricane and inconvenience that people might have experienced.
Mm. All right. Did that answer your questions?
Yeah, that pretty well covers what I was concerned about. And I wondered if Michael knows of anything that's changing at the state level to do with the elections that he knows of.
Nothing that I can think of. But even though it closes on the 15th, you can still, when you go in to vote, if you go early voting, register and vote at the same time. But you cannot do that on Election Day.
Right.
On November 6th.
All right. It's early voting only. All right. Well, if you have any questions here in Craven County, you can call the County Board of Elections. Melanie Ray or one of the members of her staff will be happy to answer your questions there. And I'm sure that goes the same for Carteret, Pamlico, Jones, to other counties. Just call your local Board of Elections if you have any questions. While we're talking about elections and the upcoming elections, midterm elections, you've heard many of the conservative talk radio shows talking about this is the most important midterm election that we've had since probably, I don't know when. It's been a long time. And just want to emphasize, I agree with that. It is the most important because the outcome of this election is going to determine what happens to the future of our country.
Yeah, it really has to do with whether we're able to go toward a constitutional government, continue that rapprochement with constitutional government, or whether it gets yanked back again.
All right. People need to understand whether you like our president or don't like him, he can only do so much without the Congress. And here you can shift the House or the Senate, either one, and just, you know, he's having a hard enough time working with them as it is, even though his party is the majority party right now.
Well, the other party has indicated very, very straightforwardly that they intend to impeach him and they intend to impeach Brett Kavanaugh
if they get control.
Right. So it's very important that you educate yourself on the candidates on the ballot, and I can't overemphasize that enough. Don't listen to what's going on the political ads and what these fake news media big mouths are telling you about the candidates. Go out and do your own research and find out for yourself. Hal?
Well, the two things that I know of that CCTA is doing that directly affects this, I'm trying to affect it, I guess we ought to say. Maybe y'all can think of some others, but no, I know we've got a forum coming up.
All right.
And that'll be at our next regular
Tuesday night.
Tuesday night. This Tuesday
that's
night.
The 18th.
Right.
We're having a candidates forum. Right now we have seven that have accepted our invitation. And
16th.
The 16th?
Yes.
We've got to look at a calendar.
Yes, Tuesday.
Tuesday the 16th.
Okay, I stand corrected. Tuesday the 16th. I get confused sometimes. But anyway, we've got seven that have accepted at this point in time. So we'll have a nice little meeting. Some of the ones are overcome by other events like the hurricane, the storm. So some are also preoccupied with other town halls and events that they were already scheduled to go to. So we'll have that form. Michael will be with us that night, along with a number of other candidates. Also, I think what you're leading into was the vetting process that you're doing.
Exactly. We're going to be doing our vetting process. And there's one thing that I would like to do. In the county conference that now will be the past Thursdays, this last one.
It'll still be on the newsstands, though.
But it'll still be on the newsstand. So it'll be this week's County Compass. There's a little article in there about it that I think is just terrific. And it was written by our own Mary Griswold and Rayner. And it says, CTA has invited candidates, regardless of party affiliation, to answer questions pertaining to their views on governing. Each candidate for the same office will be asked exactly the same questions, and their responses will be published here and at www.cctaxpayers.com. Each candidate who agrees to an interview will have their answers noted by at least three or more members of our vetting committee. Committee member notes will be prepared and written up as the committee members agree on what was said. We request that candidates keep their replies pertinent to the questions asked. Our purpose in doing this is twofold. It will allow citizens to know more about a candidate's thinking on subjects impacted by the office they wish to hold, and it will allow each of us to hold them accountable to voting in line with what they tell us now.
Right.
And I think that's so well said. I
mean, and likewise, at the forum, after each candidate has their little slice of time to introduce themselves and all, we'll have Q&A session there. We'll ask some questions to begin with, and then after that, we'll open it up to the public so you can ask questions and hold your candidates accountable.
Rick, you mentioned don't listen to the talking heads or the mainstream media. What we've been talking about since then is getting it from the horse's mouth. And there's one other thing that has been left out of our discussion so far, and that is those people running for re-election have track records.
That's right.
Look and see their voting record.
That's right. And all that's available online. You can easily find it. Even if they haven't, if they're not an incumbent, usually they've been in business or they have some
good hints out there.
Right. There's some history of things that they've done or haven't done. And if you get to ask questions in person, if you are educated in the Constitution yourself, you might ask some questions along those lines, because it's appalling the number of people, candidates and incumbent candidates, that have very little knowledge of the state constitution or the American Constitution. If you ask them the questions, they just don't know.
True.
And we've had good response from the vetting, request for people to be vetted. We have 12 so far that have indicated they would like to have vetting. Now, there's a little bit of a misunderstanding about it, because I put out information that said that we had to have a response that's already passed. But because of the hurricane and all the other things that have happened, we're still accepting them. And so some people have called and asked if they can still be vetted, and I've told them yes, and we're still working on it. So we'll work on it right on up to whenever we can to get to it. We'll right. stop when we get finished. But I don't know whether you want to go into it enough to tell who these people are, but actually what I did was I sent out an invitation to everybody that's going to be on the ballot within Craven County. A few people besides that have had shown interest in it, like Pat McElrath from down in Hardrett County. But which we just don't have enough people to throw it together now to cover so many counties. So I'm basically trying to work on the ones that are going to be on our ballot. And I'm talking about state and the judges and everybody.
Right.
They'll be on our ballot here in Craven County and one or two outside of that.
Right. Well, that's a very good thing that you're doing. CCTA has done that for a number of years. And as Hal mentioned, the results of that vetting process will be published on cctaxpayers.com.
And I'd like to say one more about it. These questions that we've done this year, it's shorter than in past years, which I think is a good thing, but it's even also more directly related to our plan of organization, our mission statement, than we've been had sometimes in the past. So these questions are directly related to find out how well you fit in with a very conservative point of view that we hold.
All right. And while we're
constitutionality.
While we're still on the topic of the elections, I want to tell our viewers, our listeners out there, some of you might say, well, what can I do? What, you know, I'm just one voice. What can I do? There's a lot you can do. Once you learn about these candidates, you go through the vetting process, you go through doing your own research, share your information. And I told people not to listen to other people. But what you do when you tell them, you give them the source of where you got the information. You share the source and let them go and verify it for themselves. That's what we do here at CCTA. And the reason it's very important, now CCTA is nonpartisan. We don't advocate for any political party or candidate. We don't campaign for them. Individual members may, but CCT as an organization does not. But there are a lot of people that are out here that will resort to anything to be able to get you out to register or to get you out to vote.
And Rick, we do have requests from people from represented all parties, the Libertarian, the Constitutional,
right.
the Democrat, and Republican.
Right.
All those, some, at least one or more from each one of those have asked to be vetted.
Good. Let me share with you what some of the people are doing. It's in the Greensboro News and Record. NextGen America has a mission to go onto the UNCG campus to register young voters. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, except that the agenda they have, unlocking the power, national group turns to North Carolina in hopes of signing up and turning out young voters. And this is from the John Locke Foundation. NextGen America is a liberal advocacy group funded by an old rich white man.
George Soros?
Probably so. But he's cool, old rich white man. NextGen North Carolina director Josette Ferguson told the NNR, that's News and Record, that it had beat its goal of registering more than 5,000 young people at 16 college campuses in North Carolina. And that's a lot of swag. Well, do you know how they did it?
No, but I'm thinking you might be going to tell us.
Yep. Ferguson said NextGen used a lot of free food, mostly pizza, cupcakes and donuts, T-shirts and other swag, and even free haircuts to entice young people to come talk to NextGen organizers. The group did major sign-up pushes just as students arrived on campus in August and on National Voter Registration Day. The goal was to do one event at each campus every day, whether it was something big with music and giveaways or something as small as a college student with a clipboard. Now, before I get to you, Mary, what does that remind you of?
Acorn.
Acorn and giveaways. Mm. You're giving them free stuff to entice them to come out and vote. What are they going to expect after you're elected?
More free stuff.
There you go.
But there's another part of that. And I hate to be cynical here, but I'm getting good at it.
How can you be more cynical than what he just
How many of these kids are registered and doing absentee ballots in their home states?
Yeah, that's a good point.
What are these students using for their addresses? Are we going to have another situation? We've got 300 people who live in a small shack in a parking lot.
Well, now, the groups like NextGen here and like Acorn that you talk about, they are expert at targeting these types of audiences out there. They know that situation, that those students can be registered in their home state. That's why they target those folks.
Let's ask Michael what are our state rules about that. What happens to somebody that it's proven that they voted twice, or they voted not only in North Carolina but another state?
Well, if they voted twice, they're supposed to be prosecuted. But you got to remember that it's the district attorneys that determine who and when and for what they're going to prosecute. In the past, a lot of district attorneys refused to prosecute. They just didn't feel like it was an important enough crime. It's probably the most important crime, or one of the most important crimes, because it's our right as a citizen. I mean, this is our country we're talking about. So when somebody cheats the system, when somebody votes more than once, that should be considered a very serious crime. And I believe the penalty has been upped over the years. If you get caught, I think we did something here a couple years ago.
A Virginia college student just got sentenced to jail time for registering dead people to vote.
Yeah, and I hope it was significant jail time.
It's not, but it's at least jail time.
All right. Now, you talk about the prosecuting process. Something I was reading about today, and this is at a national level, I find it very interesting. It says, how can you make arrests prior to first fully cleaning out corrupt elements at the top of those departments like the FBI and the DOJ that oversee investigation and prosecution in the United States, and they themselves are the very ones engaged in the illegal treasonous acts? The clean-out process that's been going on, you've got James Comey, director, he was fired. Andrew McCabe, deputy director, was fired. Jim Rybicki, chief of staff, senior counselor, was fired. James Baker, general counsel, fired. Bill Priestap, director of counterintelligence, he was Stroke's boss, cooperating witness, and his power's been removed. Peter Strzok, deputy assistant director of counterintelligence, was fired. Lisa Page, office of general counsel, fired. And the list goes on and on and on. A lot of people, they don't stop to realize that all this is taking place. They want things done today. And the problem is you can't do it until you get rid of the corruption that's already there. So
this is where, you know, it's important. Things that we used to take for granted, like who was running for district attorney. Most people never pay much attention. But this is one of the reasons why you need to pay attention. You need somebody who's going to follow the law. You need somebody who's going to prosecute. And someone who believes that this is an important prosecutable offense.
Right.
So, I mean, everything, you know, look at who you're electing. Look at who you're getting behind.
Right. And a lot of these are not even elected. They're appointed. So the people you are electing are doing the appointing. And they're going to appoint judges that, of course, will go by their agenda in most cases. Hal?
Well, we recently also found out how important the position of the clerk of the court is in their voter integrity rules.
Right.
If I understand it correctly, there's one agency that keeps track of the deaths and, you know, death certificates and things like that, and there's another agency that has the voters. Well, some of the clerks of the court won't let the two people compare notes.
All right.
The other comparison was those who choose to exempt themselves from jury duty,
right,
because they're a foreign citizen,
exactly,
and yet they voted. They're on the voter rolls. And again, that's another clerk of the court needing to see those compared. The difference there is that the exclusion from jury duty is a public record. Inclusion in the jury duty is not public record, but the exclusion is.
And the point is that there are several ways that the clerk of the court could influence weeding out violations of the voter rules.
Well, while we're on this subject, I'd like to throw something out here just to get people thinking and understanding something, that when you elect somebody, they don't have a boss. you are their boss.
Right, right.
There is nobody in Raleigh that is my boss.
You realize we all heard that.
The Speaker of the House is not my boss. Okay, you are my boss.
Right.
That same thing with the county sheriff. That's the same thing with, you know, with everybody that you elect, the local mayor. There is nobody holding them accountable, and nobody can hold them accountable except the people. We hear things, you know, even locally. We'll say, well, the county commissioner should do this with the sheriff or this or that. No, the sheriff is elected by you, and you are the only one that can make any decision, you know, whether to keep them or not keep them.
Right.
Same thing with every elected official. Everybody that you elect works directly for you, and you need to understand that there is nobody holding them accountable. So if you don't hold them accountable, then who is?
Thank you for bringing that point up. And the way you hold them accountable is at the election, at the ballot box, when you go and cast your vote. That's how you hold them accountable.
There's something that's troubling me about this. I know that's how it ought to be, and in reality, if you've got a backbone, that's how it is. But if you go into any public arena, whether it's the Board of Commissioners, they are sitting on a dais above the people watching what's going on, looking down their aristocratic noses at we the people. Similar thing if you go to the General Assembly or if you go to some congressional hearings or whatever. Once people get into government, they seem to design their environment to be superior to the position of their, quote, bosses, close quote. I don't think that's a really healthy situation.
Right.
Well, it really irritates me when the commissioners refer to the people, the citizens in attendance, as our audience.
Yeah. Well, I think we can all agree there's a lot of corruption out there. There's a lot of cleaning up being done, but there's a lot more to be done. And some of you might say, well, how did we get here? Well, folks, there's a lot of ways we got here. One of the main ways, I think, that helped us to get here is voting a straight ticket. Just because your granddaddy was affiliated with a certain party and your daddy was and your great-granddaddy, you don't have to go in there and pull the lever and vote everything for one party. I think that gets us into trouble we're in today. You need to know each candidate on the ballot that you're voting for, need to know something about them, make an informed decision before you go in there and cast that ballot.
And beyond that, paying attention to what they do after they get elected. Don't
Absolutely.
Just leave them alone. Yeah. Let them know you're watching and you really like this. And, oh, by the way, that irritated me because that wasn't appropriate because.
All right. Well, absolutely. I agree with you. We've got to get another break in here real quick, so we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up this show.
In a time when personal responsibility is being mocked and minimized, who's really responsible for your safety and security? Who's really readily available to provide protection for you and your loved ones? Law enforcement is not always going to be there when you need that safety most. Are you prepared to keep you and your family safe and secure? I'm Randy Seiler, owner and instructor for Responsible Security, LLC, and I invite you to be that person, to be the responsible one. Contact me at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com so you can be better trained, safer, more secure, responsible. At Responsible Security LLC, I provide personal firearms and security training for a variety of skill levels. Currently, classes are available for obtaining a North Carolina concealed carry handgun permit and for advancing your personal firearms skills.
To find the date of our next class, visit our website at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com.
Remember, your safety and security depends on you first. Visit ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com to learn more and sign up for a class so you can be better prepared to meet your responsibilities.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Everyone loves fresh seafood, and Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro has all your favorites, like shrimp, scallops, and salmon, and plenty of fresh fish in season. Come for our own soft-shell crabs, pecan wood smoked sausage and salmon, and our very own boiled peanuts. Load up on seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sausage from the Redfish Seafood Market, Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, again, we've got Representative Michael Speciale has been with us today and brought us some very good information he shared with us. Thank you again, Michael, for spending your time with us. Mary, you had some information on some of the things that are happening with China, and one of the more important ones is that they have been manufacturing computer chips that go in a lot of our devices, in our cell phones, our computers, and these chips have built-in back doors that allow them access to our systems. There's also been some speculations I've been reading about that some of our military equipment is right, because we have been contracting with China. They've been getting into all aspects of our markets, and now they're discovering that maybe the collisions of some of the Navy ships, these chips may have had something to do with that, and some of the airplane crashes that we've seen.
I did read today, and I think this is important, that President Trump has ordered that all Chinese parts be taken out of our military weapons.
I think that's an excellent move.
I'm reminded, does anybody remember the movie? I think the name of it was War Games,
mm-hmm.
with the kids that hacked into the thing.
Right.
And the reason, the way that they stopped it, if I remember right, was there was a back door in that they could, he could get in and do things he wasn't supposed to do.
Right.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
Well, jumping back to the previous subject before the break, and that was the corruption. Part of the corruption that was going on in previous administrations were backdoor deals with China,
yes.
where our technology has been sold, our trade secrets, our military.
We gave them the technology to launch their missiles.
We, as a people, didn't, but some of our...
leaders did,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, Bob?
Well, one of the things that happened there is in order for China to produce any of these components, we were, our manufacturing companies were also required to give them the intellectual property behind those components. So not only did they know how to manufacture it, they knew what its purpose was, what it would do in advance.
Right. And some of our biggest companies have gotten in bed with them over there and shared technology. And we carry them around on our hips all the time and don't even think about what's going on. Mm. Hal?
Well, something a lot less technical than that, and I'd like to bounce it off of Michael. I know he's a retired Marine and had Marine experience, and I've had Army and National Guard experience. But back in the day, back in World War II and after that for some time, The Army always used its own people to do some important things, like vehicle maintenance and taking care of security, even mess halls and being able to feed yourself all the time. The Army took care of their own. Now, they go into a war zone, they contract out some things, they contract out some security even, they contract out the food, they contract out billeting, and it makes no sense to me. What do you say?
I agree. I think it's going to be problematic in times of war, and I don't know if they've had problems with it, but certainly something.
It already has been. Under the guise of diversity, we have brought some of our worst enemies into our government. The Muslim Brotherhood infiltrated our government. Yeah, it's bad.
But I meant that remark to pertain back to what Mary was saying, because it's the same sort of thing. I mean,
it is. We need to learn to make things ourselves, manufacture them cheaply, and not depend on China. And the fact that President Trump is bringing back manufacturing jobs to America is a move in that direction.
All right. Well, we're seeing a lot of good things happening to correct some of the problems of the past. Hopefully that'll continue. Well, that's all the time we have for CCTA Wake Up Call today. Thank you again for tuning in and spending time with us. Don't forget, Tuesday night we have a candidates forum at Stanley Hall, downtown Newburgh, at 7 o'clock. And Michael Speciale will be there, as well as some other candidates. Let's see, we've got Tim Harris, Kelly Muse, Dennis Booker, Chadwick Howard, Keith Kidwell, Naomi Clark have all accepted our invitations and may get some more before the deadline.
And Rick, for our listening audience, the evening broadcast of this show may be delayed an hour until 9 o'clock due to having the football games in the afternoon.
Yeah, so
they can pretty much count on it being
season.
9 o'clock until the season's over.
Normally, during normal hours, our 8 o'clock show on Sunday evenings is at 8 o'clock. But because of the football season, we are now on at 9 o'clock in the evening. So hopefully you'll get that message and be able to tune us in. Well, again, we've got to go. Please visit our sponsors. Thank them for their sponsorship and tell them you heard about them on CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newburgh, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. J. Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newburgh.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in Newburgh. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in Newburgh and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend, and S&D Gun and Knife Shows. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, and Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 Grantsboro. Also, the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties. Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue, Responsible Security LLC, and Oriental Dragon Boat Races. Tune in for the CCTA Wake Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.